1-800-922-457-2995. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, 99.5. So, it's 995-995-99. Thanks for listening, and we hope you join us at the LSB meeting, May 12th, at 7 p.m. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. The previous program was Neurodiversity Experts Talk with Natalie Tandyway. Heard Fridays at 2 p.m. It is now 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned for Ecologic Radio coming up.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for May 7th, 2021. When your air
or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we hear what the Champlain-Hudson Power Express controversy is all about and what the alternatives are.
All hydropower is not alike.
We have three guests today. We'll have them introduce themselves. You have a voice to go with the name. Annie, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Annie Wilson. I work out of New York City with the New York Environmental Law and Justice Project. Thank you.
Lucian?
Might not be here.
Not be connected.
I think we need Reggie. Our engineer needs to call Lucian and George.
They both were on. I put them. Yeah, they're both they should be on.
Yeah, I think that Lucian may have hung up. I'm not sure about.
Okay, George, we'll go to you.
Yeah, I'm George Jackman. I'm the senior habitat restoration manager for Riverkeeper.
Okay.
And you know, there's a lot of talk about hydroelectric power. And a lot of people are presenting this as a good thing no matter what. Annie, give us some details on when it's good, when it's bad.
Well, all dams affect the flow. And this affected flow of the free-flowing rivers will impact the ecosystems, their communities. And we must not be sacrificing these systems and their communities for so-called clean power. I would like to add that overall, across the world, there are over 58,000 what they call large dams, over 15 meters. And over half of them now are beyond their design life, which is over 50 years. With accelerating climate crisis, unpredictable deluges, and other weather events, there will be many, many events impacting the subject communities due to the life design of these systems, which would have become vulnerable. And within New York, within the United States, and within Canada, many dams are used for irrigation, flood control, but most of them in Canada are for hydropower, for which approximately 98% of the power of Quebec by hydropower. And so Lucien will explain the impact on his communities and other communities by these systems that were built without prior consent, and how the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, who is hoping to procure renewable energy, so-called, for city operations. This would be a city government procurement through renewable energy credits that would be, in actuality, hydropower made in First Nations lands in Quebec, mostly. So if and when such a contract is agreed upon, soon, hopefully never, there will be a construction of a transmission line from Quebec to Queens by a developer known as Blackstone that will involve transmission corridor, of which about a third of it is under the Hudson River and will greatly impact the life of the Hudson River. It will also impact Rockland County, where it is above land. It will also impact northern state communities, which actually trajectory designation has not been correctly identified. There will be eminent domain. The mayor and the governor both support this project. Seven towns along Hudson River are very concerned about their drinking water supplies and have issued comments relating to their concerns. New York City locally generated efficiency programs and small distributed renewable energy programs also should be encouraged. The mayor is making a very large mistake and should withdraw and condemn such an option, which would be to procure this power from the lands in Canada, First Nations. Any questions?
Lucien, talk about how this impacts your community. Lucien, are you there?
Lucien.
All right. Anna, you'll have to speak for him for this time being.
I would like to just call him. Call him on his line.
Okay. There's something not working.
What's a live show without a few glitches?
There you go.
It's a live radio. We already know what dams have done to the ecosystems wherever they were built in Quebec. They're disrupting the flow of seasonal fresh water to Hudson Bay. They're disrupting the flow of rivers. They're making lakes that will flood forests, creating poisonous methylmercury right into the water. So any of the fish that used to live there will die. And anybody who relies on that land will die. And there's a lot of problems with these gigantic dams and what they do to the local ecosystem. They can't build them unless they have a market. And that's where de Blasio and New York City come in, because they want to be that market. And we're talking, what, 1,000 miles, this cable? How long is this cable going to end up being?
Well, in New York State, it's 330 miles. And then on the north of the... In total, close to 1,000 miles or more,
jeez,
depending on which installation. It's not directly any installation. It's the entirety of the fleet dams in Canada.
So if anything happens anywhere along that cable, you lose that power anyway.
Well, you could. We have – I wouldn't consider that as an option because I do believe that there is plenty of power in New York now. It couldn't
make
any to our power supply. So we just do not want this cable built, and we want to procure our power locally within New York City and encourage our local initiatives, our local jobs, and our economies.
Yeah, you know, way back in 2007, the New York Independent System Operator that safeguards and protects the grid, maintains the electricity grid for New York State, said that we would need 35,000 megawatts of power in 2017. They were off by 5,000 megawatts because of solar energy on rooftops and energy efficiency measures by individuals. Now, that lowering of the demand of electricity in the state of New York is still diminishing, because people are still putting solar panels on their roofs. They're still doing efficiency measures. They're still buying all the right Energy Star appliances and insulating and doing all these great things. So the need for electricity imported from 1,000 miles away that will disrupt an ecosystem is no longer needed and hasn't been for a very long time. And then what it'll do to the Hudson River, that's why we have George Jackman from Riverkeeper with us to explain what it will do to the Hudson River.
Yes, hi. Hi, everyone. I'm George Jackman. I'm the Habitat Restoration Manager for Riverkeeper. You know, what we have here, let me just say that hydropower dams are the only source of renewable energy that are sending species to extinction, displacing people globally, and contributing to climate change. No other form of energy does that. And the problem here is, once again, the Hudson River is being asked to subsidize human whim and folly despite centuries of abuse and neglect.
Yeah.
It has been a sewer and an industrial outflow for centuries. And what's worse, the Hudson River holds the distinction as the largest Superfund site in the country. And the fish in the river are no longer suitable for human consumption. What we have done to degrade one of the most historic rivers in this country is appalling. Even worse, the populations of every iconic Hudson River fish or fishery are in desperate states of decline, with most existing as mere shadows of their former abundance. And both species of sturgeon endemic to the Hudson are now classified as endangered. So what we say is the river cannot continue to supply convenience for every human contrivance without further irreversible effects to the ecological function of this river. What we need... We got to stop using the river as a communal septic system and a plumbing system for human manipulation, and treat it more as a self-sustaining life source that greatly benefits humans and nature alike. And the problem is that you would once believe that human ingenuity could solve the world's problems. But all one has to do is just look around you. The technological advancements of human society have contributed to many of the world's problems. So now there is a need to implement these technological advances cautiously. When the original explorers came upon the Hudson River, they described a river so rich with fish that you could walk on the backs of them without getting your feet wet. They would say they could walk on them dry shod. And now, those fish, same fish, are down 99th percentile. As you can see, the river herring, and you know, yes, down 99, and most of that is due to dams and over-exploitation or habitat restoration. So what happens is we had a closer review of the CHIPE, the Champlain Hudson Power Express, out of concern that electromagnetic fields may negatively impact our faunal species that are becoming increasingly imperiled. And
what's
so
that?
What's that?
Electromagnetic field. What are you talking about?
Well, as you move a current down a cable, there's an electric field that generates a magnetic field, and then there's an emotionally induced electric field as the fish move through that. So it's electric, and there's the Earth has a geomagnetic field, and the fish use, much like birds migrate, and the fish migrate in a featureless landscape by using geomagnetic cues. And the geomagnetic cues of the Earth's magnetic field will be drowned out by these electromagnetic fields from the cables.
Wow.
So what could happen is that the fish could get lost and they could become disoriented. Or fish like sturgeons are very primitive. They've been on the planet for 200 million years. And similar to sharks, they have these electrochemical receptors called ampullae of Lorenzini on their head. And they're sensitive to weak electric fields. And so they're used in navigation and feeding and migration. So what if you ever look like a hammerhead shark, what's that big hammer for? And it's for them to be able to detect creatures that are buried in the sediments. And they can detect biochemical movements by the weak electric fields. Now we run a cable down there and they get confused. A recent study of it's the Cross Sound cable in the Long Island Sound, they used a little skate, a skater's array, and it's similar to a shark and it has the ampullae of Lorenzini like a sturgeon. At 330 megawatts, what happened was the ray would start foraging and thinking that there's food in the substrate. And so it's constantly expending energy hoping to find prey. And at some point, every time, if you keep expending energy and you're not getting a sandwich, you're going to be deprived of energy.
Hey, George, we're going to see if we have some time for questions and answers after that, and then we'll go into an extended Zoom afterwards that will be on the up later. But let me go to Lucian real quick, okay? Lucian, tell us how the Inno First Nations are being affected. I was told by Reggie that Lucian is on the line.
Was
anyone hear me good?
Yes, yeah, got you.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Well, my name is
if you can speak a little louder, Lucian.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Everyone, this came about a Nick from Anishinaabeg Nation, one of our communities where I live is Lac Simon, and it's in the province of Quebec. Just to let you know, people, that for us, the way we see it, this energy that's been trying, submitted to New York by Hydro-Quebec is to us, in our eyes, this impact is like poison. So we call it poison energy from any aspect, for the water that we can't really drink anymore. And for the mercury in the fishes, many species of fishes and those dams and rivers that have a direct impact on our food source. And to us, it's poison energy, poison hydro, Quebec, I would call it. This has a tremendous impact on our human food source and livelihood, So this is something that people need to know and understand, because they don't see what's happening in our region, in our land, in our resources. So it's major, really major impact on our people. You know, people get sick and have accidents in wintertime simply because, you know, those guys are not always safe to travel on. So that element is also another thing that we need to consider, because the level of the waters sometimes are really, really high or really low, depending on the season, of course. But this is something that has something to do with also climate change. And, you know, when we see this, it's like irreversible for our generations to come our rights are being ignored by Quebecers, Quebec government, and Hydro-Quebec. So there's a lot of things that Hydro-Quebec is saying that we believe most of them are lies, because they're saying we have good relation with First Nation. I don't think we have a very good relation at all with Hydro-Quebec. So this is things that we live with every day, and we need to, the people need to notice. Because if they buy this energy, well, I guess I would call it, for example, a cultural genocide. This is something that people don't really hear about, I think, in New York or in Maine. So there's a lot of things that needs to be considered here, very important issues. The human aspect of it, I don't think, has been really... be clear with Hydro-Quebec or the way they approach things with the buyers, meaning U.S., Maine, and New York. I think it's going to be one of those cities that's going to be...
Do you need listeners to contact the mayor of New York and tell him to not sign this contract?
Yes.
Would that help?
Of course. That
absolutely
would help a lot.
Yes.
But also
okay, everybody in the listening area, contact Mayor de Blasio. Tell him we don't want the power from Hydro-Quebec.
And I'm afraid that Lucian, Annie, George, I'm sorry, but the time is just too short. We know that time flies when you're having fun, and unfortunately, we are out of time. We needed to tune in. We want everybody to tune in next episode.
Hydropower is not clean or green.
Yes.
What was that last statement, George?
Hydropower is not clean or green.
There you go.
Okay.
And what's the Riverkeeper website?
Well, we're gonna get to that. We need you to tune in for our next episode, President Biden and the Environment. Friday, May 14th at 2:30 p.m.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people who are making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
To listen to this show again and any of our past shows, and to get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as the Mayoral Candidates Forum on Nature, go to www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also,
and you can go to northeastmegadamresistance.org, and you will find information.
Please sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our Facebook page. Enter Eco-Logic.
There are many videos and audio versions of Eco-Logic available to you for a donation to WBAI.
Go to www.give2wbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next, or call 212-309-2950 and say you want to become a member or a BAI buddy. And please, all members vote for during the upcoming Pacifica election.
And, of course, we would love you to become a member in the name of your favorite WBAI radio program, Ecologic.
It's a win-win.
And a big thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't have done this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday when we discuss President Biden and the environment, May 14th at 2:30 p.m.
For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Disappointing jobs data was announced this morning, with the U.S. economy adding only 266,000 jobs in April, compared to 770,000 in March. Economists had predicted up to 1 million new jobs last month, but there is some good news hidden in the data. The number of workers who were forced to work part-time rather than full-time for economic reasons decreased by over 500,000, indicating that workers are seeing hours increase. Long-term unemployment dropped, while short-term unemployment increased as more people re-entered the labor force and began searching for work. Indian Prime Minister Modi is facing growing pressure to impose a strict nationwide lockdown as a surge in coronavirus cases is devastating the country's health system and shows no signs of abating. Even the country's Supreme Court is weighing in. Three justices called on the government this week to impose a lockdown, including a ban on mass gatherings. Today, India reported a new daily record of 414,188 confirmed cases and 3,915 additional deaths. The official daily death count has stayed above 3,000 for the past 10 days. Many experts suspect that with low levels of testing and poor record keeping for cause of death and crematoriums overwhelmed in many places, the real numbers could be significantly higher. A federal grand jury indicted Derek Chauvin and three other former Minneapolis police officers on charges of violating George Floyd's civil rights during the arrest that led to his death last year. Count one claims that Chauvin's actions holding his knee on George Floyd's neck violated Floyd's constitutional right to be free from the use of unreasonable force by a police officer. Count two claims two of the officers, quote, willfully failed to intervene to stop Chauvin's use of unreasonable force. All four officers are charged with their failure to provide Floyd with medical care. Chauvin is also named in a second indictment filed on Thursday for allegedly violating the civil rights of a 14-year-old in 2017. Chauvin was convicted last month on state charges of murder and manslaughter in Floyd's death and is in Minnesota's only maximum security prison as he awaits sentencing. The other three former officers face a state trial in August and are free on bond. Texas is now the latest red state to introduce tighter voting rules following the 2020 election, where Republicans lost the White House and the Senate. The GOP-led Texas House gave its initial approval last night to a bill that would make it a felony to provide a voter with an application to vote by mail if they hadn't requested one, or to use any public funds to facilitate the third-party distribution of mail-in voting applications. The ability for polling place watchers to be present throughout the election day is also expanded under the bill. Voting rights groups filed a pair of lawsuits against GOP-led voting bill in Florida just moments after it was signed into law by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. One of the lawsuits, backed by Democratic attorney Mark Elias, who filed the complaint on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Florida, the Black Voters Matter Fund, and the Florida Alliance for Retired Americans. A second challenge, brought Thursday by the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, Disability Rights Florida, and Common Cause, alleges the measure will result in illegal discrimination against voters of color and that it violates the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Currently in Washington, it's cloudy and 63 degrees. In New York, it's sunny and 64. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and WBAI New York.